Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Broadcasted from Konami HQ in downtown Tokyo, it's the world-renowned Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome to episode number 11 of the MGS4 Integral Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Eystone, and as always, I'm here with Aki Saito.
Hi, everyone.
And producer, Ken Imaizen.
Hello. Hello, guys.
Oh, everybody. Today is our last episode.
Yes!
Not
finally!
You said that the last
time.
I'm sad.
Yes! Final episode.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Finally.
That's horrible.
No.
No, we're kidding.
No, but yeah, we're really glad that we made it to the end safely.
Well, and that's what I meant.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Yeah,
I mean,
But you know, we wish we could do the old stage. You know, we just did everything we should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wanted to do that. We wish we could.
I mean, ideally, we would go from beginning to end every single stage.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, except for Rocky.
No, I think the listeners are sick and tired of listening to us, especially these three guys.
He doesn't have love for Metal Gear.
I do. I'm just thinking about the listeners. We're Sean and me. Talking all the time, 24 hours.
Shut up already.
We should have done that.
That's why we have the KP report with Christine Kugler.
Yes, that's true.
Beauty and
the Beast. that's true. But well, we did a lot, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't cover every single stage, but we went through all the different areas, we picked out, I think, a lot of interesting areas, mm-hmm. and in the middle we kind of jumped back and forth a little bit, which we're sorry about, but, I think we managed to cover a good deal of material, and response has been good, so, yeah, I think we did a good job.
That's good.
Okay, so today, for the final episode of our Integral Podcast, mm-hmm. We'll do something a little bit special, okay. And we've been building up all these comments on our page, email and all this kind of stuff. Okay. So I think we're going to read one from a very dedicated fan, mm-hmm. who's actually written to us several times.
Whoa.
Okay. This is from Sergio Oliva.
Yes. Oliva.
From Canada.
From Canada.
Yes. So Sergio says, mm-hmm. I'm glad that you spoke about the sound in the Integral Podcast 8. The sound of the train station in Prague and the resistance guy whistling. That was awesome information. That's the kind of information that I want to hear in these podcasts. The crew behind the greatest PS3 game there is.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Sergio. Great job, Mr. Sotaro Kojima and sound crew. I am an aspiring sound designer myself, and I admire the sound designer's work in Metal Gear Solid 4. I especially love the Octocamel sound.
Ooh. Octocamel sound.
Octocamel, yeah.
Wow, he's a big fan of
Sotaro Kojima.
Yeah.
And so today, we're pleased to welcome our first guest. Oh, first and final guest on the Integral Podcast.
Yes.
So we have Mr. Sotaro Tojima, our sound director.
Yeah,
here today.
Nice to meet you, everyone.
Welcome.
Hello, my name is Sotaro Tojima, sound director of Metal Gear Solid 4. I'm very honored to be here.
Cool. Okay, so we don't call him Mr. Tojima.
That's the thing. Kojima Productions, everybody has these nicknames, right? I mean, you're Aki. Mm-hmm. Ken's Ken.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, everybody has these nicknames. And so Tojima-san is actually called Tojin.
Yes.
Tojin.
Yeah. So we all call him Tojin.
Tojin, yeah. Uh-huh. Anyways.
All right, so finally we have a guest.
Finally, okay.
Finally a guest on the Integral Podcast. And by the way, Tojin, do you speak English?
Oh, no, my English is not so good.
Okay.
We overcome bad situation with using our sound technologies.
Cheating.
Cheating.
Yeah.
No, we can't say cheating. No. Sound magic.
Magic. Yeah.
Magic.
Magic.
Yes.
Magic cheating.
So we're going to use sound technology. So he's going to use his sound director magic.
Uh-huh.
So for all the people listening right now, you're listening to, Tojin speaking in English. Mm. But, we're talking to him maybe in some other language.
So it's this sound magic, right?
Yes, it's the magic of sound.
Yes. He is really popular in the Japanese Hidetan radio.
That is
as well.
True.
He doesn't speak at all. His ki is really known for laughing.
Really?
It's the Tojin laugh.
Oh, there it is.
Alright.
Alright, well, so I guess we'll move on with the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, Tojin, you were the sound director on Metal Gear Solid 4. So how is it that you came to participate in Metal Gear Solid 4, and how long have you been with Kojima Productions?
Actually, I was a composer at Konami for some time.
Oh, really?
But I didn't join Kojima Productions until MGS2.
Mm.
Mm, my first role was the scene where Ocelot tries to kill Snake and sink the tanker.
Ah, yeah, I remember that. Very memorable scene. So what kind of relationship did you have with Mr. Kojima?
We worked together during post-production.
Mm-hmm.
And by coincidence, I learned that we were from the same hometown.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So we kicked it off well.
Cool. So you did this podcast and then you got into sound directing. So I guess, you know, just for the people out there who may not know, what exactly does a sound director do?
Yeah, you really want to know. I don't specifically know either. What do you do? What do you do, Tichy?
Basically, mm-hmm. I convey Mr. Kojima's sound vision to the sound team.
Right. So it's like, talking to Mr. Kojima and getting his ideas and kind of coming up with all the details, right?
Mm.
That's basically what it is, like the specific plan for how the sound is going to be.
So he's going to kind of have to lay out kind of almost a blueprint of everyone has in his mind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then lay it out on kind of paper or, you know, for people
kind
to understand.
Bring it together into some kind of document so everybody can be on the same page, you know, and know what they're doing.
Mm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did all this sound stuff. And then, you know, we're on the iPod right now in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually was your idea as well, right?
Yes, that's right. Originally, it was an online sound player.
Mm.
But since Mr. Kojima is such a big Apple fan, we decided to go with iPod.
Well, that's true. I mean, even back then when we started the project,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone had iPods, you know,
iPod
Touch.
Yes.
I think iPhone wasn't there at the time still.
Yeah, that's still back in the day of the video iPod?
Even maybe before that.
Well, before that?
Yeah, when
around?
When was this? It was definitely after the second gen or third gen iPod.
Right.
A lot of people were starting to get it, I mean, especially in Japan.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's a really cool thing because, you know, he has a music player, and it's a music player that probably a lot of listeners have, you know, like people are playing the game, you know, they probably have an iPod, so something they can relate to, you know, they can relate to Snake and his item in the game.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, okay.
So is there anything like that you in particular, you know, really paid close attention to and that you really put a lot of effort into?
Yes. Actually, the song, The Best Is Yet To Come, in Shadow Moses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool because we did work together a lot on that, you know, because it's kind of tricky because, you know, things, you have these enemies, you know, wandering around, and if you get spotted, you know, how do you handle that? You know, you don't want this song playing while people are shooting at you. So, yeah, that was really a challenge. And
God, it's your stage, right?
Tojin, you know, you gave us a lot of good advice on how to put that song in there and make it feel good and, you know, kind of scale back the enemies a little bit to, you know, make it just get that atmosphere perfect.
Wow, it seems like a kind of a simple stage. A lot of people think Shadow Moses is the easiest stage,
Because
there is already a bass.
Right.
Listening to all this, you know, the previous, you know, Integral podcast and, you know, the shows, I kind of find out I should play a little bit more and not skip through it.
I think, you know, the thing with that is too, is like because it existed already, you know, like trying to reuse that same area is actually challenging.
I think I said this before, but a lot of people kind of, you know, have good memories, you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, people expect a normal, natural upgrade.
Right.
But if you look at MGS1, if you look back,
you
see that it's technically not as high as
today.
But people expect that, right?
Right.
So it's quite difficult. But anyways, okay, other than Shadow Moses, but, you know, MGS4 in general, what's the sound concept that you had when you started creating sound for Metal Gear Solid 4?
My goal was to create movie quality level of immersion in the game's sound.
So
really have movie quality sound in the real-time game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is there any particular scene that you feel that, you know, you really achieve this, you know, deep sense of, you know, movie-like immersion that where you're really successful?
Yes. I think we did a really good job with the Middle Eastern battle scenes.
Oh, the actual start?
It's like, just that whole war zone
from
the beginning. It's the Middle Eastern war zone. That was really cool.
Right. Well, that was actually shocking, wasn't it?
So what, I guess, you know, what techniques did you use to kind of create that really immersive sound for the war zone?
In addition to the background stream sound effect, we used what I call a Senjo stream.
Senjo stream. Senjo stream. So that's like a, that'd be a battlefield sound stream?
Yes.
Battlefield, war zone.
War zone sound stream.
So this goes on top of the
right,
normal.
Right, so you have your background and you have, you know, the sound effects. And then in addition to that, there's this special
Senjo,
war zone.
Senjo streaming.
Senjo stream.
Yeah.
So what exactly is this Senjo stream?
Yeah, I mean,
you guys wanna hear it?
Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay. Wow. Oh, that's some pretty extreme sound effects. You know, like, listening to this right now, you know, it's really impressive. I mean, it really sounds really good. But, you know, does this ever get in the way of, you know, the gameplay or anything like that? You know, having all this sound, you know, explosions and gunshots and things like that?
Yes, but I was careful not to have gunshots too close to the player so that it would not confuse the player.
Ah, okay. Wow, I didn't realize that.
You did?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Did you? Did
no,
you?
Of course not.
I mean, yeah, it just sounds so natural. You know, just when you get into a fight, you just hear all these gunshots. I didn't realize that was, you know, a completely separate track.
Well, I didn't know about the Senjo stream either, you know?
Normal game sound effects like da-da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-da-dun don't have enough variation. So Senjo stream was added to create more realism like da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun.
Okay, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, because I think, you know, that's something that, you know, I think stands out also. Like, even, you know, when we first had the first playable at TGS, you know, after talking to people who had a chance to play it, and, you know, they listened to it and, you know, played the game, I think that's something that everybody said, you know, that the sound was, well, of the war zone.
Yeah, well,
was
I remember really we specifically tried to highlight a lot of people to concentrate on the sound, so we set, you know, headphones.
Right, right.
Not a lot of, you know, Tokyo Game Show or E3, whatever, don't really do that, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tojin, I remember, he insisted we have to have sound so that people could go into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And feel the sound. And I guess, you know, it's right he said that because he and his team did all this effort, right?
Yeah.
So, Tojin, what's your team like? I mean, Metal Gear Solid 4 sound team. Well, what's the team like?
It's a very talented team of about 10 people. It is divided into composers, sound designers, and sound programmers.
Cool. So yeah, you guys work really close with, you know, the programmers and scripters. And I remember this too, that, you know, you guys, you did actually go into the script and do things yourselves also, which, you know, which is really cool. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, we're able to get that really immersive level of sound, you know, because the sound designers had like total control over everything, which is kind of unusual. Okay, so yeah, so you got this internal sound team, which is really great. But, you know, I think a lot of people also, when they think of Metal Gear, you know, they think of, you know, collaborations with these really big name composers like, you know, Harry Gregson-Williams or like, you know, Christopher Boyce from Skywalker Ranch and things like that. So can you comment on that at all?
Yes, they are very talented professional. I was very honored to work with them. They really inspired me and the team.
I remember this part with Harry and Tojin. You know, we came up early. We came in early in the morning and did like video conference with Harry in LA.
Of course,
Tojin in Tokyo.
Time difference, of course, right? So that's really early in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember.
Okay, well, Tojin, it's an integral podcast, so I want to hear some tips. I mean, like, can you introduce a kind of a tune that you think that no one could find it?
Okay, in the Middle East, right before the scene with Johnny in the ballet, you can get an iPod track by crawling under the wall on your left before you jump down from the collapsed building.
All right, everybody got that? So go ahead and look for that iPod track. All right, well, unfortunately, I think we're out of time for today. But, you know, so, Tojin, you know, before we go, do you have anything else that you want to say to the fans out there before we sign off this final podcast?
since it is the last mission for our beloved Solid Snake. I just really would be happy if people could turn up the volume and listen to the game the way it was meant to be listened to.
Mm. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Sojin.
That was Tojin, everybody. Let's give him a hand.
So I think we have to wrap this up. I want Tojin's laugh.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, by popular demand, we need the Tojin laugh.
I think everyone wants to hear Tojin
think so.
Laugh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
Thanks, Tojin. See ya. So since it's the last, integral podcast that's going to be in Metal Gear Solid 4, mm-hmm. you know, do you guys have any particular memories or, I mean, we had a lot of fun making the game and, mm-hmm. and doing this podcast mm-hmm. and, you know, hope everybody had as much fun playing it and listening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but do you guys have any, like, anything in particular that really stands out as, like, a memorable moment?
Well, doing this podcast and knowing a lot of details about, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of things, I kind of take back my word that I don't like the stages you worked on.
Which was Shadow Moses. Thank you, Aki.
Right now, I'm playing at home again, you know, Shadow Moses stage, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of remembering everything you said and Ken said about, you know, take a photo here or sneak here.
Yeah, and his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we cut that.
So it brings me even myself doing the show brings me back, you know, special memories of, you know, oh, we talked about this, or this is really cool. There's so much effort here, mm-hmm. and it changed totally, you know, the impression of even how I play the game, even as, you know, one of the people in the company, you know, associated in this work.
Cool.
But you know, I think people should kind of really listen to this and go back to their favorite stages, and you'll probably have a totally different view of it.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ken?
Me?
Yeah, MGS4.
Well, you know.
You don't want to think about it?
it's a good memory, you know, my, you know, 4 years since, you know, 2005. You know, we started the, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 project, and it was really, really tough project. Mm-hmm. We had so many problems, and some people might know, you know, some people watched the making of video, mm-hmm. and we had a problem, you know, mm-hmm. you know, each like a month, like, we have huge problems.
Yes.
You know, we gotta solve those problems, and just like, you know, we're running like full speed, like, you know, for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people in the game industry, they have, you know, crunch time. Mm-hmm. It felt like Metal Gear Solid 4 was crunch time,
all the time. Full 4 years, it's crunch time. Yeah. And we finally finished it. But then I look back this, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 and I check all details, you know, one more time. And then I was kind of like, you know, oh, it looks totally different, you know. It's so beautiful.
Totally, I know what you mean, because, you know, when you're in there, it's kind of like that whole, you know, you don't see the forest for the trees kind of thing. You're so deep into making the game that you can't really step back and take a look at it. But yeah, you know, now that it's been, you know, about a year after we released it, you know, going back and playing it, you know, while we do this integral podcast, you know, it's really nostalgic and brings back a lot of memories.
It's totally different.
Yeah, I can play it as a game, you know, rather than as a developer, which is a lot of fun. And, you know, for the final episode, I think we should just talk about, you know, things that, maybe some secrets or tips, maybe, that, you know, maybe people may have missed, maybe like the bosses, or you know, just little secret things here and there. You know, there's a lot of secret stuff in the game, and, you know, of course we can't cover it all. You know, we tried going through all the stages, but, you know, we can't cover everything. And
What's the thing that we didn't say? I mean,
there's a lot of stuff that we didn't say.
I mean, the secret tips.
Oh, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like getting through, like, do you know you can collect figures of the bosses?
Figures?
Like statues.
Like a statue figures.
In the Nomad.
In the Nomad?
You can give figures to Sunny.
Right. You know, you defeat the boss
yeah.
in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get the figure.
statue at that stage.
Yeah.
Not the mask?
Not only
the mask. Well, there is the mask also. So I think, see, we never really explained that, how they can get this kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. So, that would be good.
And it's something they can use throughout the entire game, you know, because you can do it on any boss.
Right.
For the, you know, whenever there's a Beauty and the Beast and you fight them, of course, it's Metal Gear, so you don't have to kill them. You know, you can use non-lethal forms of combat. And, you know, of course, there's a kill count in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, you can get through without killing anybody and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even more than that, you know, the thing is with the beast form of the boss, even if you use your regular weapons, it won't count as a kill.
Mm-hmm.
But you still get something for using non-lethal combat on the beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is you actually get a figure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you fight the boss, right? Mm-hmm. And then you use some non-lethal form of combat, you know, whether it's tranquilizers or whatever, and then, you know, you defeat them, and then after that, you know, the beauty battle starts, right?
Yeah.
They come out of the suit, and at that point, somewhere in the stage, there'll be a figure hidden somewhere.
Ah.
So if you look around, you can find, you know, like a statue of Wolf or a statue of Octopus. Yeah.
I didn't know.
And also, you know, I think some people may have found those, maybe, for the beasts.
Yeah.
But there's also a statue for the Haven Troopers as well.
Mm-hmm. Where can you find them?
You remember the first Integral podcast where we were talking about Advent Palace?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, right after that, you know, where our podcast left off, there's, of course, that battle with the Haven Troopers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you use non-lethal combat there, at the end, when you drop down to that basement area, that kind of parking garage area, you can find a statue of the Haven Troopers there.
Well, that's a real tough one, isn't it? I mean,
it is pretty tough.
The first battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect to use tranquilizer guns and things like that. You want to mash through.
Yeah. It's a really good way to challenge yourself. You know,
right.
You know, for people who beat it once, and then they want to go back and collect all the items, or maybe you know, try a different challenge.
Mm.
You know, that's a really good thing to do. So
not that hard, though.
It depends.
Okay.
You know, if you do it on like Big Boss Extreme or something.
Oh, Big Boss. No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so, yeah, definitely for people who haven't gotten that, maybe give that a try using non-lethal combat on the bosses.
Mm.
So, you know, you do that with the beasts, you can get the figures, and then also on the beauties, you know, there are some pretty cool things you can do with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, they first get into the beauty battle, the first thing they do is they just start shooting.
Yeah.
They just kill the beauty. But, you know, of course you can put the beauties to sleep, and if you do that, you get face camo, which is really useful, actually, you know, especially in, like, Eastern Europe. You know, if you get, you know, laughing octopuses, you know, laughing beauties, face camo, then you can get through Eastern Europe much more easily.
That's true.
Things like that. But there's another thing also, and, you know, this is something that I think is really hard to realize, because, you know, people know that maybe you shoot them or tranquilize them, but maybe people don't realize if you let the timer run down, and there's no timer on the screen, so it's a little hard to know this, but while you're fighting them in the regular stage, there's actually a timer running in the background. And if you let it run down, you know, for about a minute or so, then it takes you to this white, kind of a pure void where you get to see, you know, the beauties in really nice shading and you just get to admire the beauties there.
Yes, so you have the 5-point sound,
right,
in full throttle there.
Yeah,
yeah,
full sound, full shading, and of course, you can use the camera there and get the beauties to pose for you. Which is something that people may not have realized. So you can do that. And using the iPod.
Yeah, the certain music.
You can use the Tuhan Princess soundtrack.
Yeah.
And get them to dance.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, right? we didn't cover all these, right?
No, we didn't, because, you know, we didn't have time. But
I'm sure people...
It's good to know.
Yeah.
People, some core fans knew about this, but most people probably can't really figure out by themselves, right?
Yeah, you know, watching people play, like, you know, I kind of, whenever I see somebody playing, I kind of, like, you know, sneak up behind them and see how they're playing, and, you know, usually they kind of, you know, go to the beauty, and then, you know, they kind of, like, run around. Some of them, you know, start shooting right away. Other ones, you know, maybe they kind of wander around, like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
But then eventually they say, oh, okay, I guess I'm just supposed to, you know, shoot or something, and then they go. So they never see that white void area. And then probably even those who see that white screen maybe never think to use the iPod.
Or the camera.
Or the camera.
Yeah, and the brain there. Yeah. Tuhan Princess music.
Mm.
Wow, that's a good tips.
Okay, a little bit of trivia, a little bit of final parting tips for everybody out there. And I think we're just about out of time for today, unfortunately.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll be continuing the Kojima Productions Report.
Yes.
Our web podcast.
Yes.
And of course, you know, me and Ken. Well, Ken and Aki will show up from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Christine there.
Female.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
So you don't have to listen to a bunch of guys blabbering all the time. So, yeah, definitely. You know, this wraps it up for the in-game podcast, but please be sure to tune in to KDL Blog and check out the Kojima Productions Report. And be sure to send us your mails, because we still do check all of those, and we will address your comments or questions on the air.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. Well, okay. Any final parting words?
Okay. Well, I guess we'll try to, Tim and I will try to appear in KP Report as often as possible.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
To help you out.
Please, please.
Because it's really fun.
Yep.
And a lot of the listeners do really like Ken as well. So.
Right. I think they like your voice too. You have that, you know, smooth Aki voice.
Aki,
yeah, people recognize you even from the
people
keynote.
Like, you know, people like his voice because
my mellow, mellow voice. Yeah, okay,
it's
thanks.
Very relaxing.
Okay, thanks.
Somebody said your voice is so cool or something when you were doing a simultaneous translation.
Oh, in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, you know, my voice is the only popular thing I have. Ken.
Okay. Anyway, you know, we're gonna have KP Report, and we will continue to have some news for the people.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, we I'd like to mention one thing. From June 2nd to 4th, we're gonna be at
E3 2009.
Yeah. Yes. E3 2009. Mm-hmm. And Kojima Production will have maybe big news. Announcement.
Surprise?
Surprise.
Surprise. Wow.
So, please looking forward to it. So,
cool.
Yeah. And I think what I'm trying to do is I wanted to do the KP Report podcast with video when we were in E3.
Nice.
Video podcast.
Video
sounds
podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, we're going to, you know, following, you know, you know, Sean and Aki and taking
not.
You know, behind the stage
no,
and that kind of stuff.
No,
so
no.
That would be really, really cool.
No, right? That sounds
gonna,
like fun.
Well, we're
yeah,
film
fun.
Each
yeah.
other when we wake up and when we have dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Well, anyways,
okay.
Well, this is going to continue like this forever,
right?
On the KP Report.
For all eternity.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Come on, Sean, wrap it up.
Okay, well, everybody, we'll see you on the KP Report. Till then, this is Sean and Aki and Ken saying goodbye, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.